Well, it feels like summer. The midges are outside, the ants are inside, and the Leafs are golfing, I'm sorry to say for you. But we're still going to try and use this. I hope everybody can see it okay, and I want to thank Dan. We dusted cobwebs and things off of the projector, and a few off Dan as well, I think, to get this going. But hopefully everybody can see that okay, because I think having it in front of you will be helpful today. I also want to thank Will. You may have noticed the theme already in some of the songs that we've sung of blessing. He's always good to call me and ask what I'm going to speak about so he can fit things to that. So today I want to speak about familial blessings, and we'll get to the overhead fairly soon. I remember as a child the importance of belonging in a family. At the dinner table, we all had our chosen or assigned, I don't really remember, places. I used to think of mine as the first chair. After all, I was the eldest. Though technically I was on my father's left, my brother was on the right, but I had a much better position, I felt, because I looked out the large window at the back on the Thames River floodplain below us. Or in the car, I sat between my mom and my dad in the front seat. Of course, in those days, with so many kids and multiple kids in a seatbelt, the last one riding in the window well at the back, I think the theory was that in the event of a crash, all those bodies would cushion each other and no one would be seriously hurt. You guys remember those days. Belonging in a family is a powerful phenomenon that draws the members together, blood being thicker than water, as we like to say. So as I said, today I would like to speak about familial blessings, and thank you, Jeffrey, for making the quick switch when I somehow messed up which book you were going to be reading out of. But in any case, I want to take a look at what it's like to have family blessings. I hope that it's something that you experienced. The reality, unfortunately, is I know that that's not something that everyone experienced growing up. But I want to charge you today with the goal of making it a legacy that you will pass on. When I was with you last month and we started this series, I introduced you to the Hebrew term Barak. And yes, that's the same as the 44th U.S. president. We looked at the idea that that word derives from a word for kneeling. It means honoring and esteeming the person for whom the blessing is directed. The person being blessed is praised for their good qualities. And as some writers put it, you are recognizing and adding value to someone else's life. A group of Christian psychologists by the name of John Trent, Gary Smalley, and Carrie Trent Stageberg have written a study book called The Blessing, and they've formed a para-church organization around the central theme and idea behind the book that blessing is a gift of unconditional love and acceptance. Isn't that what you'd like in your family? Isn't that what we would want for all families? I'm not a psychologist, so I'm venturing outside my comfort zone and my knowledge, but I'd like to share what I hope I absorbed of the ideas they take from God's plan to bless and prosper us. The plan that God has is recreated in our families, and it's a powerful way of lifting up our children and our grandchildren and introducing them to God. Want to know how important familial blessings were in the Old Testament? as Jacob is about to bless his grandsons in Genesis chapter 48, we read, Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right hand towards Israel, as he was known then, towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left towards Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger, and crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. And after Joseph himself is blessed, and Jacob is about to bless the young men, he says this, when Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, no, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. With that understanding of the importance of a blessing in a family, especially as it related to the eldest, let us review what we've seen from Genesis chapter 27. If you want to open your Bibles there, we'll be working our way through that, and we're picking up partway through the reading. I'll pick up at verse 15. We've set the stage, and now things are carrying through. Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son, Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skins. Then she handed to her son the tasty food and bread she had made. He went to his father and said, my father. Yes, my son, he answered. Who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. Now, wait a minute. This is not Esau. Isaac had called for Esau to bring him wild game, which he loved. This is Jacob acting at his mother's command. In fact, when he protested, and as we read earlier, that he would call down a curse upon himself rather than a blessing, she shook him off and declared she would shoulder any curse. If you remember, Rebekah had a favorite, and it was Jacob. But Isaac's favorite was Esau. I'm sure there's a lesson there about siblings and favoritism and the problems it creates, but that's for another day. Today we want to see Jacob deceitfully taking his brother's blessing, because it was certainly the right of the eldest son to receive the first and primary blessing, as we saw a few minutes ago with Joseph's displeasure at the switching of the blessings of his two sons. Jacob goes on, I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. There it is. Jacob calling for something under false pretenses, not his to ask for. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you. One thing you got to say about Jacob, he's pretty smooth. He didn't miss a beat. Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not. Something's not quite right. Something's off to Jacob. How did Esau capture, clean, and cook this game so quickly? So it goes on. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. Are you really my son Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. If Jacob was hesitant at first with his mother, he's all in now. He's willing to blatantly lie about who he is to his father. Then he, that's Isaac, said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So Isaac eats and drinks the store-bought food, if you will, with the smell of the wild lands on purloined clothing, goat skins to mimic Esau's ruddy and hairy complexion, and with the right seasonings and a bit of smoking, Rebekah and Jacob have convinced him he's eating wild meat from his favored son. The ruse is complete, and Isaac now calls Jacob in close for physical intimacy to match the emotional intimacy of the blessing he now wants to deliver. Verse 27. "So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, 'Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed.'" Well, now let's turn to Trent, Smalley, and Stageberg's thoughts about blessing. They list five elements of blessing that must be present for a blessing of another to be holistic, effective, and well-received. The five things are appropriate, meaningful touch, a spoken or written message, attaching high value to the one being blessed, picturing a special future for the one being blessed, and an active, genuine commitment to fulfill the blessing. And now we can go ahead. Look at that. Appropriate, meaningful touch. The importance of touch is placed foremost on their list. They note a UCLA study found that men and women need 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day just to maintain emotional health. How difficult that has been during this pandemic. How difficult that is at any time for singles and seniors who are living alone. And isn't that what we think of when we think of mothers snuggling their children against all manner of worldly hurts? So how did Isaac do? Recall that Isaac was nearly blind. That's how they could pull off this switch. He's already reached out to touch his son, but now he beckons to Jacob to come near. In Hebrew, it's a single powerful word, that come near. It's used of Moses by God. This is from Exodus. "You," that is the elders, my editorial comment there, "are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near." That's how powerful this word is. It's describing the relationship that Moses had with God, and the people may not come up with him. Isaac's invitation was very personal. It was designed to set the mood for sharing the blessing. And Isaac called for Jacob, or Esau as he thought, to kiss him, a sign of respect and intimacy. Trent and his partners continue with the second element of blessing. A spoken or written message. Verse 27. "So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, 'Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Isaac begins his blessing reveling in the smell of his son that reminds him of a fresh field that the Lord himself has blessed. And remember that Isaac could hardly see, and he didn't have the advantage of glasses. His sense of smell told him it was the son that he loved. Ignore the fact that it was all under false pretenses. Isaac was vicariously living the outdoors. It's said that smell evokes more positive and nostalgic feelings than any of the other senses. I know that when somebody puts on bacon on a cold morning, I'm suddenly wide awake. Isaac here is sharing in the success of his son's hunt. Like I said, ignore the fact that he's being fooled on this. Moving along to the third element, Trent's team lists another critical component to a blessing that is holistic: attaching high value to the one being blessed. Isn't this exactly what we just heard Isaac do? A field blessed by God is one that is growing and prospering. This is how Isaac affirms his son. Recall that word Barak comes from kneeling and recognizing the worth of another. A nuance of this word is that of adding value. God intends blessings to add completeness to our lives. He adds his own spirit to live in us. And our behavior when we bless needs to mimic his by valuing the worth of another person. In the Song of Solomon, the king praises his bride no less than 7 times. And as the authors point out, 7 is the number of perfection. Picturing a special future for the one being blessed. The words that are spoken or written that affirm the person with high value must also envision a future that is filled with good things. As the one doing the blessing, you are painting a mental picture of the success and completion of the blessee. This is how Isaac puts it. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Note how he words this. May God give you. He roots his aspirations he has for his son in what God can do. When we imagine the best future for our blessee, we need to ensure they understand that we are seeing what God wants to accomplish in their lives. We need to help them catch hold of the vision that God has for them. And the fifth and final element, an active, genuine commitment, to fulfill the blessing. The last piece of the puzzle on how to bless your family. And I put this in the context of family because that's where our deepest relationships are. But this is actually true of all blessings we wish to impart to other people. The story in Genesis 27 continues in verse 29, the second half. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mothers bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. As we know, this blessing was given to Jacob. Esau soon returns from the wilds and comes to his father to give him of the food he had hunted himself. When Isaac learns of the betrayal, he's described as shaking. I imagine it's shaking with rage at having been tricked and lied to. And Esau is distraught. Verse 34, when Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." And again in verse 38, Esau said to his father, "Do you only have one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. We can appreciate his distress. He'd already lost his birthright to Jacob, and now his blessing was only the leftovers after Jacob had received the rich blessing of Isaac's love. Isaac was in a rage immediately, but Esau's bitterness grew, his anger grew as the weight of his loss came to him. At this point, we can imagine nothing but trouble ahead for these two brothers. Rebekah realizes this, and rather dramatically, I think, she tells Isaac her life will not be worth living if Jacob marries the Canaanite women from around them as Esau had. I'm not sure why it was okay for Esau, but not for Jacob. Oh, wait a minute. She had her favorite, didn't she? So it was okay for Esau, but not for her Jacob. But Isaac rises above his anger. He realizes indeed it is best for his son to have a wife from his relatives in a far-off place. And sending him there will diffuse the situation. Isaac sends him off with another blessing. And we know that in a what goes around, comes around world, Jacob meets his comeuppance in an even more unscrupulous uncle. But God uses the time to soften the rough spots in this man. Likewise, God prospers Esau and calms the anger in his heart. All of this is the result of the carry-through of Isaac to ensure that his words had the weight of action. Trent's team calls the active, genuine commitment the mortar that holds the other four together. It's the part that takes the most work because it's ongoing. Unless we think that only sons received a familial blessing, the belonging I spoke of applies equally to women and daughters. Genesis 24 tells the story of Rebekah, yes, that same Rebekah, of her departure from her family to start a new family with Isaac, whom she had never met. Beginning in verse 57, they said, let's call the girl and ask her opinion. And they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and the servant of Abraham and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, you are our sister. May you become countless thousands, and may your offspring take possession of the gate of his enemies. Earlier, I said that blessing is a gift of unconditional love and acceptance. And I also challenged us. I think this comes more naturally to women. We just celebrated Mother's Day for the unsung heroes in our families. My challenge to you, for women and men alike, is to commit to being a blessing, first for our households, then to the saints, the family of the church, and finally to the world at large. As good parents, we want the best for our children. We want to bless them. Jesus reminded us how much more God would give to his children who asked of him. So continue to ask and crave his blessing that you might pay it forward. And just as in our families, in God's family, there's always room for one more at the table. And by being a blessing, we are foreseeing and bringing to life a future in which all nations know and love the Lord.